Medusa, written by Michael Dibdin and read by Cameron Stewart.
Pulchra es, amica mea, suavis et decora, sicut Hierusalem, terribilis ut castrorum assies ordinata. Avete oculos tuos a me, quia ipsi me avulare fecerunt. You are beautiful, my love, sweet and graceful like Jerusalem, terrible as an army drawn up for battle. Avert your eyes from me, for they put me to flight. The Song of Songs, Chapter 6, Verse 3. 1. An oily fog had mystified the streets, sheathing the facades to either side, estranging familiar landmarks, and coating the windows with a skein of liquid seemingly denser than water. Gabriele tried to edge away from the fat woman in the next seat, who was phoning in a gruesomely detailed account of some elderly relative's colostomy, but her bulk still left him no room to open his newspaper in comfort. The only thing he could read with any ease was the headline, which referred to hostilities in progress in some distant land where young men were killing and being killed. Outside, the stalled traffic snarled and yelped. The tram rumbled along its dedicated right-of-way through the shrouded city, the bell clanging intermittently in warning of its approach.
"God knows," the fat woman was saying. "First I have to pick up the car from Pia, assuming she's there yet, which I doubt, and after that it's anyone's guess with this damned fog."
Gabriele hugged the window, turning up the collar of his green Loden coat in a symbolic attempt to screen the woman out. He liked the fog. The world quietened down and closed in. Glossy turned to matte. Every stridency was muted, substance leached out of the brute matter all around. Things became notions, the brash present, a vague memory. By some parallel process of slippage, his innumerable childhood memories of foggy days morphed into other memories. The fog of illness, real or feigned, of fevers and flu and febrility.
"I don't feel well, Mama."
She was always eager to believe him, and knowing that he was giving her pleasure alleviated whatever slight guilt he might have felt in faking or exaggerating his symptoms. His mother liked him to be ill. It made her feel needed. Sometimes he had even suspected that she knew he was malingering, but forgave him, perhaps even encouraged him. Fog to Gabriele also meant the feather duvet that his mother fluffed up and floated down over him while the impotent clock insisted that he should be in school with its horde of bullies and swats.
"My cloud," he'd called it.
Weightless and warm, flung back as soon as his mother had left the room so that he could run to the bookcase and pick out a selection of novels to take back to bed, folding the cloud over him again. Books were another form of fog, dipping down to infiltrate and insidiously undermine the authoritative, official version, showing it up for the sham it was. He knew the stories were all made up, the characters puppets, the outcome predetermined, so why did they seem more real than reality? And why was no one else shocked by this gleeful scandal? The tram squealed to a halt, and the fat woman got up, still talking continuously on her mobile, stepped out into the street, and instantly evaporated. The doors closed again, and the tram lumbered into motion. With the seat next to him now empty, Gabriele spread out his paper and briefly skimmed the ongoing international and political stories. As usual, they reminded him of his mother's dictum regarding leftover food.
"Just add one new ingredient, and you can serve it up again and again,"